to have the preeminence. In order for that to happen, we have to bow, we have to be under, and you have to be over. You have to take your place in each one of us, and we have to take ours. So Father, you please be over me, be over every single soul here. We don't even want to meet. And we ask you, Lord, be ruler over our hearts, over every thought, and become subject to you. Lord, speak to us, please, this morning, and draw us into that place where you want us to be. Further and further out of this world and into your kingdom where you reign over us. So if you're reigning over us now in our souls and our hearts and our lives, then we will be in a physical kingdom there with you also. Let it be. Anything needs to be corrected in me or any of us is corrected, changes. As we're very serious today with you. You are with us, we know. The service now into your hands. Quite a season we're in, isn't it? Now, I'm going to get right into the word because we always have a lot to cover and never finish. We're talking about realms. We're talking about dimensions. We're talking about the place where his word not only is, but where it rules. Because his word is in this realm, but not ruling. So if we are kingdom people, we are going to be in a place where his word is having its place and its effect over us. So it's not just, I believe, and I can do whatever I want, which is what most of Christianity is. I believe Jesus died and the Apostles' Creed. Now let's go have a beer and watch the football game and put on shorts and do whatever we feel like. How contrary. Now, I'm going to be getting a little bit into the message, Knoweth It Not Again. Now, I sent you notes for today, and then after the notes, if we can finish these notes, then we'll get into page 3 from last week, because we never finished up. Then we'll get to page 4 of the last week before that, because we've never finished that week. Then we'll... Okay. Was it too high, too low, too what? Okay. Knoweth it not. Brother Branham, in the beginning of the message, I call this a tale of two women. And he has two different ladies that he's comparing, a woman. One is just worldly. She doesn't care about anything but what she wants, and she knows it, and she doesn't try to hide it, and she doesn't try to be anything different than that. And the next one is... let's call her a misdenomination, or he says it's a Methodist woman. Okay? Now, the Methodist woman, typical denominational woman, goes to church, but she doesn't have much light, and her life and her actions show this, okay? So, in this to understand what he's talking about in what we're going into for dimensions, this is necessary. So let me start with this. Woman, world. A lady, and she's married to John. So if you go there, by any knoweth it not, you can see it in paragraph 70 where I will be reading from. Well, the first thing you know, at a drunken party, Ralph hugs her again. Well, she gets all fired up because she's in love again with Ralph. She thinks that. Then after a while, Ralph begins to meet her, and she can put it over on John, her husband, pull it over his eyes, and she thinks she's a pretty smart duck. Because she can run with Ralph, married to John, see the woman don't even have the very bearing of decency, she thinks nothing about that. Okay? Now, but this Methodist woman has raised her up at another bracket. She does at least go to church. She thinks she's a woman, that the other woman is horrible. Why, she says to her husband when she comes in, I see that man go out and meet her, and then John come out of a case somewhere, Philadelphia, takes her out to in his roadster, and they lay out on the beaches. I see them coming home, don't even pull the curtain down, kissing her and making love, and la-da-da-da-da. Okay? So the one woman is condemning the other woman. The Methodist woman is condemning the worldly woman. Now, Brother Branham, in this message, I think at least two or three times, says the world is going insane. We think of insanity as one way, but he defines it here, and to me it's quite shocking. So I want you to understand where he's coming from. So, two women, worldly woman, denominational woman. Denominational woman still cuts her hair, wears lipsticks, wears shorts, on and on. Okay. Now, if this woman, this Methodist woman, now she would say, now, wait a minute, Mr. Bradham, I'll give you to understand I'm no prostitute. Now, I'm going to read from paragraph 77, if you can find it. Notice what he says here. He says, it throws the whole world into insanity. Did you get that? It's totally different than what you think of as insanity. This is a person, come on, thinking man's filter. He talks about it all the time there. We've been at so many times. Who is ruled, okay? Here's her flesh. Here's her spirit. And she's ruled by this. Because it affects there, and she has her conscience, memory, affections, reason, and imagination. Right? He says that's insanity. Do you get that? Does that shock you a little bit? Well, you can see the world of it, but look at how close it gets. Okay. In paragraph 75, your body belongs to your husband, but your soul belongs to God. There is an evil spirit that's anointed you. If that you are not, I can prove you're totally insane. Paragraph 77, it throws the whole world into insanity. The whole thing is insane. And so gradually crept in till the people don't even know it. Now, paragraph 78, is she a prostitute? Not by her husband, not by her vow to her body, but before God, she's got an evil prostitute spirit on her. That makes her dress like that, and she's in the Laodicean in church age, and I don't know that she's doing that. The innocent woman don't know that God will judge her for being a prostitute. There you are. And you can get it to her. You can't tell her. There's no way of getting it to her. She's naked and don't know it. Now, that's shocking. So that's his definition of insanity. People processing everything from the outside in. Thinking man's filter. Greatest battle ever fought. Knoweth it not. several others. So if this is insanity, she's governed by everything physical of this world, by her own reasoning. Last week, I sent that little Hebrew rabbi talking. Okay? What did he say the number six was? Physical realm. What is Satan's realm? The physical realm. What is 666? Total physicality. Total physicality. Look at the world. Look at the way it's going. But look at how it can go from this outside in there, okay? And God will judge her for being a prostitute. She's insane. Can't tell her. He can't tell him anything. Now that's alarming, but we are in a position now where we have to cope with the Word of God, period. Sometimes, we've said this many times before, what he says is hard. It doesn't make any difference if it's hard on me, hard on you, hard on any of us. We have to say amen to it. Okay? So, with that understanding, we're going to now approach the Word of God. So, if you have your notes there, my title is this, A Place to be Quickened. Because the Word has to be germanized and the Word has to come to life. Correct? It has to. So, you can't have a word inside you, Apostles' Creed, whatever. And if it's not quickened, it's still dead. So there has to be a place that it can come to life. So would you turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4? Now, in my notes, I have starting at 7, but this morning he showed me I have to start at verse 6. Okay. Verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, referring to Genesis, chapter 1, verse 3, this same God shined in our hearts to give the light. What is light? You don't have to stand up because I'm going to take a long time. Not just a text. To give the light. What is in the light and all through the New Testament? Light is what? Light is life. So God has shined the life, okay, through knowledge. Not intellectual understanding, but spiritual understanding. Something he's quickened in the soul. God speaks to the soul. He's reaching to the soul. We went over that. John 6, John 10, John 14, John 15, John 16, John 17, all the way through. Plus myriads of others. His approach, what did Brother Branham, where we were last week, the soul is what he's working on. What are we talking about these days? He's dividing the soul from the spirit to set you free. You don't have to be identified with your human spirit, thank God. Identify with your soul that responds to the Word of God. This lady, the Methodist lady, responded to the Word, filtered through her reasoning, filtered through her consciousness. And therefore, Brother Branham said she's totally insane. Alarming, right? Okay. So here, in again, Paul has something given to him by God. Okay? God, verse 6, God did what? Shined in my heart, shined in our hearts. What did he shine in our hearts to do? To give the life of the knowledge of the glory of God in the presence of Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The treasure is revelation. Revelation struck his soul. Revelation striking his soul changed his whole being. Changed his whole life. Changed his way of living. Made him a new creature in Christ. Changed everything. Is that correct? There's nothing the same about Paul. There's nothing the same about Peter. There was nothing the same about Moses after they met with God. So the treasure's in his soul. The treasure is in an earthen vessel that the excellency of the power may be of God. The excellency of what power? The power of the life of God. Okay? The power of the life of God has to be in you operating. So there's something operating in Paul through revelation given to him. With me? Okay. So we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. We could go on there for a week, couldn't we? So, this has to have its place, just like we prayed this morning. This Methodist woman, she wants to keep her own reasoning. Mm-hmm. Brother Branham says she's insane. Brother Branham says she has a spirit on her, but you can't convince her of that for nothing. She says, I want to rule my own thinking. I rule my own thoughts. He says, sorry, you can't do that. Either I'm going to get in there and I'm going to have my place, or you are, but we can't both be there. With me? So here we are. This is the scripture for that. 2 Corinthians 4 is the scripture for this. One of them. Okay? Now, here is Paul, and here he is in this position. Here he's acknowledging what God has given him, and he has a treasure in his soul, and he calls it an earthen vessel. Most of America would never call their body an earthen vessel. They'll polish it up, shine it up, make it silver, try to make it gold, try to do anything they can, but it surely isn't lowly like earthen. Come on. Really? Look at what we do. Okay? He says it's earthen. Then he says, we're troubled on every side. But it's not overtaken us because of the treasure where it is, yet not distressed. We're perplexed. Has to be that way. But not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Okay? Why? Why? He tells you why coming up. We're cast down, but not destroyed. Now, you could just say, well, this was Paul, and this was his time, and this was this. This is the Christian who has this in their soul. And God says, I want that to reign. I want it to rule. And you can't have two things ruling you at the same time. One's got to die. Okay? So he says, I'm always bearing about in the body, the outer flesh, the outer realms, the dying of the Lord Jesus. Let me ask you a question. How do you bear the dying of Jesus in your body? How do you do that? Because this is a revelation he speaks about in Philippians chapter 3. That I might know him and the fellowship of his suffering. Right? Being made conformable to his death. So, he says, I'm always, not sometimes, always bearing about the body, in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus. He has to have his preeminent place, and I have to die. And I cannot have this thing dictating what is going on here or what this is going to do. So this has to be dead. That's why Peter says, I have to be conformable to his death. I have to know the fellowship of his suffering. So here Paul is talking about that in the same way. Okay, bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. What's the next phrase? That. Or so you could say, so that. I'm bearing, okay, in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in my body. Death has to come so life can be manifested. You can't have both. The Methodist woman wanted both. He said, you're insane. You can't do it. So if you're in this position where you think, oh my goodness, I'm in a dying condition and I keep dying and this isn't fun, it's necessary. It's something you would never choose unless you had a revelation in your heart. He's taken me here and it's good because it's for life. Are you with me? And that's the only way, and the only way that'll happen is when the soul gets preeminence. And the only way the soul is having preeminence is the Word of God has preeminence over your mind and your thinking. With me? Okay? So let's read that again. Read it out loud with me. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be manifest in our body. Do you want that life? Do you want it to be manifest? Then something's got to die. Okay, and it has to die in your outward realm. For we which are alive are, here's that word again, always delivered unto death. Why always bearing about the dying, always delivered unto death? For what? For Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus, there it is again, two times the death and two times the life. He's trying to say something to us. Two times the death and two times the life. Always delivered unto death, that the life of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Okay? So then, death works in me for a purpose. Death has to work inside of me so life can work in somebody else. And if it doesn't, it won't. Oh my goodness, I'm going into Knoweth It Not right after this. You'll see it. Exactly what went on with God, the divine architect, in the life of the prophet. And if he did it, he does it. Mm-hmm. If he did it as an example, he has to do it in you. Quit rebelling, my dear brothers and sisters. Don't fight against the Spirit of God. Don't fight against the things that he brings you to challenge you in this life. Let him kill you, so that the life of Jesus will be made manifest. Nothing we would choose, but he, grabbing a hold of your life, does it for a purpose. Okay? So then, death works in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, in other words, you have the same spirit of faith that I have. And he noticed what he said. We don't have the same faith. We have the spirit of faith. Where does the spirit of faith is the Holy Ghost? Okay? Ephesians chapter 1. I pray that the Father, okay, gives you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Spirit of wisdom and revelation is the spirit of faith. It's his faith, not your faith. It's the faith of Abraham, which is God's faith, which is God's faith coming down to you. We have it. OK, Okay, now, we have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. He knows what he has. He knows what's been given to him. He knows without any doubt, nobody can talk him out of it, what is given to him is given by God. And the scriptures are illuminated and they are coming to life. And the life manifesting the word out from him is a proof that the revelation is correct. True or not true? Okay. I believed and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. We're together in this. Now, the next phrase, read it out loud with me. For all things are for your sakes. If it was that way in the Alpha, in the first church age, it's that way in the last church age. So the ministry of William Branham is for whose sake? So that the life of Jesus could be manifested out from you. True? Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Everything that God did in this day is, I want to get to my kids. It's for you. Please let that soak in. Okay? It's for your sakes. That the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. That's what he wants. Worshiping, not just in song, but your life. Let your life be a song of worship to him. For which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perish. Here it is again. Okay? Here it is again. Always bearing about in the body. Okay? Always delivered unto death. That the life of Jesus, that the life of Jesus. Death works in me, life works in you. Okay? For which cause we faint not, but the outward man has to perish. What happened to the lady? Why is she insane? The outward man wouldn't perish. She refused to allow it to perish. I'm just fine. I go to church. Huh? I pray, I read my Bible, I do these things, leave me alone. There we go. I'm satisfied again. We go back to that. Leave me alone. He says, okay, I will. The outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And here again, we have the message, things that are to be opened up in the Word of God. It took me 25 years to realize this. That message is Rapture Chapter 2. This has to happen in us. If I'm part of the rapture, then I'm part of this. If I'm not part of this, I'm fooling myself to be part of the rapture. Are you with me? So this process has to be happening for me to be part of the rapture. How did Brother Branham say it? Word upon word, line upon line. Word on top of word on top of word on top of word. What did he say? Why is the Holy Spirit so loud? Because it's something your body in another dimension is needing. So here it is, and it's perfectly right here. He says the inward man is renewed. Do you know what renewed is in the Greek? New and different. New and different. It's added and added and added, exactly the way Brother Branham preached it. He is a word prophet, and if he's taken over by the Spirit of God, he cannot preach anything other than the perfect word of God. And if you have the right attitude, it's like I did. 20, 25, 30 years I waited on the Lord for. I did not understand things that are to be for the life of me. And here it is perfectly. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and 2. You have a building. Not a noun. A verb. Something he's doing. What is it? Mm-hmm. Something on the inside. New and different every day. Exactly what that message is. Remember, brothers and sisters, that's Rapture Chapter 2. And he tells you that right at the beginning of the message, to continue on with my rapture message from last night. This is rapturing stuff, which means this is seventh seal stuff, Which means this is third pull stuff. And it's a life that is going on you. There's a transaction. There's an action between you and the Holy Spirit that is making these things happen. Quiet. All right. The outward man has to perish. The inward man has to be renewed for our light affliction. And again, you've heard sermon after sermon after sermon on that for years. We would call anything that Paul went through anything other than light affliction, wouldn't we? Stoned and beaten and my goodness. Okay. Now, then he has a little parenthetical phrase there, okay, which is for a moment. But what is he saying? For our light affliction works for us. Can you put that on there? Can you put those things together? Look what it says. For our light affliction works for us. Would you please remember that? When you go about your day and things get tough and you feel like I'm dying and you ask the Lord, why is it so hard to die? He says, I've got to work in you. And this is working in you. Your light affliction works in you. Okay? What does it work in? An exceeding and eternal something, eternal weight of glory, God's mind, God's heart, God's ideas, God's thoughts, God's attributes. You have to die on the outside if you want to express the things of eternal and the glory of God. Are you with me? You have to die. You have to, this outward man has to perish. The inward man has to be renewed. While we look not at the things, here's our dimension change. We're always caught off guard by the things that we see. They trip us, they stumble us, they make us mad, they make us angry, they trip us up, okay? And you say, no, get over it. Right? Mm-hmm. Which one of you could honestly say, I don't look at anything outward anymore? Now, the problem is, we're still in the transition, aren't we? Mm-hmm. Where we know this has to be reversed. Do you want it to be reversed? Do you want to be in the rapture? Do you want to have a body change? Then this has to happen. Okay. How many sermons, Brother Russ, have you ever heard we don't look at things that we've seen? Couldn't count them, could you? And how many of those things go around, oh, let's look at the things we're seeing? Right? And everything in your life proves that you're looking at the things that you're seeing. Somewhere, this is my point for the last several weeks. This happened to Paul. This is where Jesus lived. This happened to Peter. This happened to all the apostles of the New Testament and the elect saints. And it has to happen to me, and it has to happen to you. We are swayed by the things that we see, and you have to get to a place, I don't look at those things. But at the things that are what? Now, what can look at the things that are not seen except for the soul? Amen. Looking at the Word of God. So tell me, Paul didn't have a transformation from the outside to the inside. Tell me he didn't go by his reasoning when he was collecting Christians and throwing them into prisons and trying and agreeing to Stephen's death. Tell me that this is perfectly logical and perfectly fit, perfectly in line with the Word of God. I'm doing this to honor God. Right? And he was dead. Do you understand what the prophet is saying? This is insanity and they don't know it. This is insanity and they don't know it. And if we are still letting this operate in us, we're insane and don't know it. Right. So there has to be something taking us over and changing us and working with us and operating in our inmost parts of our soul to say, let me take over. Not during song service, not during church, but when everything that is seen is a lamb blasting me from every angle all day long and trying to get you, I will look at the things that are seen. I have to look at the things that are seen. How can I not look at the things that are seen? Huh? I go to work. I'm looking at things that are seen. Right, Pete? Do you think God doesn't know that? Do you think he didn't plant you in Laodicea because he had confidence that his seed would overcome? That his word is more powerful than that? That his word is more powerful than your eyes and your conscience and your reasons and what you see and what you feel and what you assess? Huh? Does he not know what he's doing? So these trials and the death is working out an eternal weight of glory for you because you're not looking at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen, for the things that are seen are temporal. The things of the soul that are not seen are the things that are eternal. Okay. Now I'm going back. You got your notes there. If you want to look, you could follow along. If you don't, you can check it up later at home. Or not. Whatever you want. This scripture of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, these verses actually came to life in the life of the prophet, not by his own choosing, by God's design. And God's going to do it to you by his design, not by your choosing. It's exactly the same thing. Now he's talking about the inside man, okay? So, life that has to somehow get in control so that I'm not affected by the things that are seen and I'm not moved by the things that are seen. But the Word of God and the Spirit of God has power of them in the ear. Paragraph 181. He's talking about the soul and the spirit. That's his focus on this message, knoweth it not. That's why he starts out with the two women, the tale of two women. The worldly woman and the Methodist woman. Let me ask you, which is worse off? Huh? Which is worse off? Oh, you'd say, well, she believes in Jesus. I'm glad she does. Do you understand? These things can rip you apart. And what do I do with it, Lord? Aren't you glad they believe in Jesus? Very glad. Now, we go back to the prophet, and you have to say, it also says. I'm not the judge of anybody else's spirit or soul. Okay? If they believe in Jesus, they'll be there, have eternal life. But this woman, why does he say that she's insane? And why did he say that she has an evil prostitute and she will be judged for having an evil prostitute spirit on her? Why? So what do I do with these things? And how do I, what? I pray. And I cry out to God. Because I can't know, I'm not a prophet, and you can't know because you're not a prophet, right? But you see things and you say, hey, you don't realize what dangerous place you are in by taking that denominational stand and living in your pants and shorts and swimsuits and say that you're true to your husband when you aren't because men have looked upon you to lust after you. So going through all that, Brother Branham says a real genuine, real, will cope with that inside man. Now, in this message, he calls it the inside man. He calls it the first man, and another place he calls it the last man. It depends on the direction he's looking at this from, okay? But a genuine Christian is soul-oriented and soul-governed. Things that are to be, these messages. Okay, greatest battle ever fought. Keep going there. Because, brothers and sisters, it's not just a church lesson. This is rapturing faith. And this is a rapture process. The things that are to be is rapture chapter 2. Outside man perishing, the inward man being renewed. My outward man has to perish. It's got to die. The inward man is being renewed. So here he's talking about the inward man. A genuine Christian copes with the inside man. That spirit that was way back yonder at the beginning, which was the Word. Your soul. Look at this next paragraph, 182. I love this statement. I have meditated on this for months and months and months. He was the fullness of all of you. Isn't that beautiful? He was the fullness of me. Isn't that beautiful? He, Jesus, when I see that, I look at my Lord Jesus, and he was the fullness of all of us. You were in him way back yonder at Calvary. He foreknew you would be here. He only broadcast what would take place, and you were in him. Now, how many times have we gone and referred back to Romans chapter 6? The old man is dead. We mentioned it even last week. The old man is dead, and you might, okay, in your unbelief say, well, my old man sure isn't dead. He's giving me trouble every day. Right? But then the scripture says in verse 11, Romans 6:11, reckon yourself dead. Right? Now look at what he says. This is Romans 6. You were in him. You died with him. What's the next phrase? You died to what? Read the next phrase. You died to the world. So the old man and the things of the old man are dead. They died in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the fullness of me and the fullness of you all together. He's the fullness of all of us. Okay? So my old man truly is dead. When I say he's not very dead, I'm the liar and he's the truth. Because he's dead. Well, what's bothering me? The devil. Hey, Jesse, you know what? This just brings something to my mind. COD Volume 2. Brother Branham, here's a question. How do I know if the thoughts I'm thinking are from me or from God? From the devil. And he says, if they're of the Word, they're from God. If they're not from the devil, they're the devil. He doesn't even give you credit for having any. So here you are, and there's a voice saying you, yep, and you say, oh, that's me. And here, I want you to be equipped. That's not me. Exactly. That's the devil. Shut up. Get thee behind me. Amen. You got to put up your dukes and fight, brothers and sisters. You got to recognize that he gave these things to you to overcome. If you take these things, you will be overcome. Okay. You with me? Okay. You died with him. You died to your pride. I think that's beautiful. You died to your fashions. You died to the world. You died with him at Calvary. And you rose with him when he rose on the third day. And because you've accepted it, because your soul said amen to it, and your soul is ruling over your mind because you're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There you are. It's that inside man. It's that inside man, okay? It's that inside man. It's your soul. That inside, your soul, will punctuate the word, hang on the word, regardless. What's the next four words? You can't help it. Don't you love that? It's just the way he designed you, because your soul is there. Mm-hmm. Okay? Read the next phrase. I learned that many years ago. This is the most awesome. It's nothing new. I've read this so many times in church. Brother Branham goes over his life. Was it easy?
No.
What was easy about it? Not much of anything. Okay? He had some tough lessons. Why? God put him in a position to ministry, and he would not allow him to minister. And he could not be God's servant without the words of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 taking place. With me? So now what about you? What about me? And don't try to protect it and keep it, brothers and sisters. You're just hurting yourself. Okay? You can't help it. I learned that many years ago. My little baby lay in there dying. My wife there in the morgue, embalmed and laid out. They called me out there. Sharon was dying, and that's the hardest temptation I ever had in my life. I was 25 years old. I walked out there, Billy Paul laying at the point of death. God was going to take everything away from him because he was listened to the wrong voice. Because he was in the same position that Methodist lady was. Right or wrong? Who was he listening to? His mother-in-law. What did his mother-in-law say? You can't be with that bunch of ignoramuses. I'm not going to let you take my daughter down there. Oh, that sounds reasonable. I better listen. And God sent a rainstorm that created a flood, that created disease, Because the outward man had to perish, brothers and sisters, so that the inward man could be renewed, because they can't be there together. You can't have the outward man and the inward man. That's what was wrong here, and Brother Branham called it insane. So when you're going through these things and life is starting to get tough and getting more challenging, thank you. Raise your hands and praise him and thank him. Amen. And said, yes, Lord, I do. Do you ever ask the Lord, why is it so hard to die? Don't you? I do. It's not, hey, dying to self. Oh, this is so fun. You're crazy. Who likes dying to yourself? But it is critical. And here is the prophet of God saying, I had to go through this. Because 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 through 18 had to happen in my life. And if it had to happen in his and it had to happen in Paul's, then what about me and you? You have to quit being moved by the things that you see. Understand. So that means the world's going to get terribler and terribler to challenge you. And you want to get all wound up and your undies in a bundle and everything else, right? And God says, come on, leave it alone. Where am I? Is that my realm? Am I in that? Do I have anything to do with that? Or do I have something to do with your soul? Tell me. Now he's going to tell you, you choose. And you're going to have to make a choice. Kingdom people, don't forget that. Okay. So they called me out there. Sharon was dying. The hardest temptation I had ever met in my life. I was 25 years old. Everybody around me was dying. Said, there lays your wife, your babies. We'll be there pretty soon. Your daddy's buried. Your brother's buried. Your wife is going to be buried now. And here's your other baby dying. He's good, huh? Huh? what is your, if this is active, it'll drive you crazy. Come on. Now, are you going to be insane and be driven by this like the Methodist woman? He's good, huh? He's a healer. What? Whose voice is that? The devil. He made a sap out of your. You made a sap out of yourself. Who's that? The devil. Verse 99, I've read this so many times. Brothers, this is so important. This is critical for you to understand this, because Brother Branham's looking at his whole life, all of his heartaches, all of his problems. Okay? We've gone over them. 1937, what was it, the flood? 53, amoeba, right? What happened? He almost died. What did they say? Go ahead and listen to him. What was happening? Reason, logic. Go ahead, but you'll pay for it. Isn't that what he told him? Listen to those ministers. There came a point in time where you couldn't budge him from the rule of this ever being in control. And they tempted him over and over. Brother Branham, use it for gold. I don't use it for commercial. Don't use it for this world. I don't use it for this realm. Right? And nobody could ever, after this lesson, ever talk him to getting out of that position where that was in control. There is where he's taking us. That is what he's doing with us. That is what the work of the Holy Spirit, and that's why you're having hard times. And don't run from them. Paragraph 199, read it with me. What did it do? It was working from the outside now to the first man. God would not allow his servant to continue in the ministry until this place was placed right. He will not allow you to be moved towards a body change until that's in its right position. Are you with me? Second Corinthians 4 is not just a thing to read about and dismiss when you get a little discouraged. Oh yeah, Paul had a hard time, isn't that? Oh, that's encouraging to me. Oh, he looked at, yeah, we don't look at things that are seen. Oh, I look at things that are seen. Hey, did you read the news? Hey, did you hear what's happening? Huh? Oh my goodness, look what's happening out in the world. Look what's happening around me. Let's, right? We look not at things that are seen. Someplace, sometime, those scriptures have to be a reality in us as it was in the prophet. So what Brother Branham is telling you when he said he was moving me, what did it do? It moved me to this inside man. God took him through that much heartache and that much pain because he had to get him there. How about me? And how about you? He has to get us there, brothers and sisters. Turn the page. God's one purpose and how he fulfills it. 2 Corinthians 4 in action. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. This is God's great mystery of love expressed, that God and man become one. This cannot happen with this position. This can only happen with this position. Right? Thinking man's filter. It's not just an idea. It's not just a thought. It's not just a good Sunday sermon. It's something that has to happen. And Brother Branham suffered greatly so that it could happen in him. And Paul did too. And Peter did too. And Jesus did too. And tell me why it won't happen in you. Tell me. Huh? God's great mystery of love expressed as God becoming one, and this is where God and man can become one. The whole thing is God and man, one. What is God doing now? Answering the prayer of his son, John 17. What's his prayer? That we might be one. What does God want in you? He wants you to be one with him. He wants to be one with you. Is that love? Huh? God and man one. God and man was one there. God and man is one here. See, what is it? Being filled with his spirit, him having the what? That word is so overused. Message circles everywhere. Oh, God, have the preeminence. Then we have the preeminence. Right when you're done talking about it. It had to die. The outward man has to perish. The inward man has to be renewed every day. Okay. Him having the preeminences, that was God's achievement. That was God's purpose to do that, that he might be in Christ and Christ in us and all of us together, one. That's what he's doing. The Holy Spirit, the same thing is revealed it in Christ, reveals it here. The supernatural creative power. Now listen, you've seen it. We've seen it. It's starting to work. How many of you have spoken to the weather and watched it change? Seen miracles happen. In the unthinkable. But it's going to be, Brother Branham says, that creative power is going to be in the bride of Jesus Christ. Okay? Where your word, you are going to be so backed by God, so submitted to him that you will speak and he will honor your word. Now, you don't think you can get there? You can't. But he can. And that's where he wants to take it. And it cannot happen if two of you are in control. This is what 2 Corinthians 4 is all about. This is two people in control. They would never say they are, but they are. Miss Methodist. Huh? And she, what did he call her? This is insanity. Insanity is going to take over the whole world. Insanity is when people are using their own mind in the religious realm, and he said the whole world is going to become that. Does that shock you a little bit? Does that stir you up a little bit and say, oh, God, help me? Let's get serious about this. Okay. This can never be oneness. Only that can be. Creative power. The same God, okay, that could say all this through Moses, let there be frogs. The same one could stand up, let their water be turned to wine. Is that right? He's the same God. He's the same one. He doesn't change. That's his manifestation. It's God's man. That's what he's revealing. That's what he's trying to do in God's own word revealing it. That's what he's trying to do. That's what he's trying to do. That's what he's trying to do. That's what he's trying. Did you hear what he said? He said that's what he's trying to do. Where? If you're a believer, you'll say that he's talking to me. Right? Shows that man cannot create. God is a creator. He ain't man no more. Oof. Is that heavy or what? This is two. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't be two in control. One's got to give away to the other. One has to die. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I bear in my body. I'm delivered to death so that the life of Jesus can be made manifest. True or not true? The trials of my death the pain that I bear. The light, what did he call it? The light temptations, light trials, afflictions, there you go. Brother Derek, if you were just beat yesterday with 39 stripes, would you call that a light affliction? Exactly the truth. Exactly the truth. He was in a position where he could say that. Okay. He's trying to do in God's own word revealing. It shows that man cannot create. He ain't no more man. It's God in the man. Read it out loud, which is his church. Going home to heaven, live with him ever. God expresses eternal love to the church. Listen close now. I want you not to fail to get this. Listen to this, brothers. Read it out loud with me. No other church, no other sign, no other fellowship, no other government, no other testimony, no other creed, no denominations accepted outside of this. You hear what he's saying? This is the only thing that he will accept. Now, where are you in your life? What are you moved by what you see? Tell me, we don't have death all around us for a purpose. It's got to happen. We've got to have pain. Huh? We have to endure, like Brother Branham did. What was the reason of all of this? Why did my wife die? Why did my baby die? My wife died to move me to the inside man. Mm-hmm. You hear what he's saying? My baby died because God had to move me to the inside man. Do you hear what he's saying? Those things that Paul called a light affliction had to happen to move him to the inside man. What is going to happen for me and you to happen to move us to that inside man? I think that, read that again, would you? Okay, no other church, no other sign, no other fellowship, no other government, no other testimony, no other creed, no denomination is accepted outside of this. God accepts nothing else but that, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the only thing that God recognizes. No fellowship, no church, no creed, no denomination, no nothing. Everything else is what? There you go. Is that 2 Corinthians 4? Is that the message? Is that part 2 of the rapture? Is that things that are to be? Huh? Is this what's going on? Is this why God has us all in the position he's got us in? We have to die? Read the last. It's fragments that has to be cut off, pruned off away, from the thing that Christ might live with preeminence in you. You remember in talking on adoption so much? Okay? I had a little something I saw in my heart. The adoptive son. The guy, he knows God is training. And God hurts him. On purpose. Yeah. That adoptive son raises up his arms to God. Bring it on, Lord. I can take it. I can take it. Because you made me to. Yeah. Paragraph 4 for 479, the last one. Not referring back. I got one limb here that says it's my organization. Ooh. Here. I'm not holding it. No. Not one thing. I belong to a church. Oh, I love my group. I just read a quote. What did I say? I sent it out to a couple of people. Didn't want it to be taken wrong. Because I love my church group. But how did that go? Christ crucified, right? Don't you ever love a church group more than you love the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word? Yeah. Paragraph 479. Not referring back. Read it out loud with me. Not referring back. I got one limb here that says it's my organization. That's got to be cut off too. I got my so-and-so here. This says that. My mother will tell me I'm a holy roller. That's got to be cut off too. Well, I know my husband wants me to wear these shorts. That's got to be cut off too. It's got to be cut off and pruned till there's just you and Christ. God help us. Brings me back to my poem, which speaks so deeply to my heart, because I see it in the Lord Jesus. I see it in the prophets. I see it in the life of Brother Branham, and I've seen it to extent in me. When God wants to drill a man and thrill a man and skill a man, when God wants to mold a man to play the noblest part, when He yearns with all His heart to create so great and bold a man that all the world shall praise, watch His methods, watch His ways. How He ruthlessly perfects whom He royally elects, how He hammers and hurts him, with mighty blows converts him into frail shapes of clay that only God understands. Cry of the adoptive child of God raises their arms up to God and say, yes, bring it on. Take it. How His tortured heart is crying and He lifts beseeching hands. How He bends but never breaks when His good He undertakes. How He uses whom He chooses, with every purpose fuses him, by every art induces him to try His splendor out. God knows what He's about. We've had a whole series of very encouraging sermons trying to build up your faith, separating the spirit from the soul. Today was sort of a hammer. And I didn't mean at all for it to come across that way, but I guess He changed. But when you go through those scriptures and look at the reality of them and look at the prophet's life and what God did through him, then you see what God did through Elijah and Paul and Moses. And Jesus, and Peter, and Andrew. They say, spare me, Lord. No, don't say that. Child of God. Called. You're overcomers. You got a special DNA inside of you. You got the Spirit of God where the whole world would go running and screaming and crying and running for deliverance, you'd run towards it and say, here I am. Here I am. But remember the words of Paul. For the light afflictions, eternal weight of glory. Remember those words. working something out eternally. That's what we're here for. Okay. My goodness, I look at Brother Branham. I've read this for years. I've read it in church so many times. I stand in awe. It stops me every time I read this. What was he doing? Do you understand? The Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus, told Brother Branham why he had to do that. And Brother Branham said, you know, I thought you were a loving God. He didn't say that, did he? He didn't say, you know, if you loved me, you would make life easier for you. He didn't say that, do you? But what does our human say? If you loved me, why am I going through these? Right? If you loved me, I wouldn't have these troubles. Right?
That's right.
And there's two people ruling. And you're insane. That's his definition of insanity. And he says the whole world's going insane. There it is. And it is. They're ruling by their own thoughts, their own reasoning. That cannot go in the rapture. Who has a song?
Whatever It Takes.
Whatever It Takes? Oh, yeah, we haven't sung that forever. Is it? I think it's somewhere.
Maybe in the white. The back of the behold, maybe.
Love it, Derek, don't you? I think. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's in the back of behold. Excuse me? 92 in the back. Back of behold. Oh, yes. I told you the story of this song, but it's true. There were four sisters that sang this song back in the Church of Rapid City. You know what I told them? I said, sisters, don't you dare sing this unless you mean every word of it. You know what happened to every single one of them? God did what they sang about. And out of those four, I think only one of them is serving the Lord now. Would you stand up? Well, don't mean it if you don't sing it if you don't mean it. There's a voice calling me from an old rugged tree, and it whispers, closer to me. Leave this world far behind. And yes, that's exactly the truth. Tell me Brother Branham didn't learn a new place. Whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord, that's what I'll be willing to do. For whatever it takes to be more like you, that's what I'll
Would you come up and close? Father, you take the weather, the circumstances on this earth, what's going on in this nation, and what's going on in your church, Lord, and we come today and you open the word in Minnesota and Hopkins, and you put it out in the air and the internet, and Lord, we're ashamed for what we complain about. Lord, we have been given so much grace. Who could even be in this room and later on in this message and even listen to this without being offended unless chosen in you from the foundation of the world? God, it's just humbling. We're so humbled, Lord. Why you chose us, Lord. Why you've allowed us to go through these things. Oh God, forgive us for our unbelief. Thank you that your word will even help us as we unbelieve in the future, Lord, but don't remove your hand from us, Lord. Father, help us to believe that we are sealed in till the day of our redemption. God, I just cry out for our families.
Amen.
That they would go back and
yes.
That this message, maybe not with the actual hearing of this day, but Lord, that this message would go into their ears and to their hearts.
Please, Father, please hear our cry.
God, I thank you for our precious brother John and my precious son Lucas, who walks in so many afflictions.
Oh.
But God, it's all worth it for this 70 or 80 years that we may have to have eternal life. God, we just need you to move forth in our families.
Amen.
Father, give us boldness to lay seed in those neighbors and those friends and those relatives, Lord.
Yes.
They may think we're just whacked and fanatics, but God, it was somebody that laid a seed in each one of us that sparked at the right time, just like the woman at the well. God, protect our hearts from being hard, Lord. It's not politics and it's not religion, it's a relationship, Lord. And we just hadn't been taught for that for decades. God, I thank you for our precious brother Don, who labors, Lord, in this stuff, and how he's just thrown me text message after text message, and many of us in here, Lord, to encourage us. And then what he's labored for decades for, Lord, we can come and get in 2 hours, Lord. God, just bless him and our sister Mary, Lord, and their family, and Lord, just pour out a blessing that we would not have room enough to contain it. God, we believe, and so now help our unbelief.
Yeah.
We ask this, Heavenly Father, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ.